Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too. At the Team 980. An exciting day. Wizards get two really intriguing players in last night's 2025 NBA draft. First round. Second round is tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. Tonight here on the station, don't forget the Mystics play late night, 10 p.m. So if you're doing something on a Thursday, driving around, want to check a little Sticks Hoops on your way home, late night, 10 p.m. Of course, the game, I believe, is also on Monumental Sports Network. It's also an Amazon Prime game. Tonight, so you can catch that there. We got some football stuff to get to today. The RFK situation is teetering on the edge of just how much is it teetering and why? We will get those answers from Eric Flack, WUSA 9, coming up at 4:15. But last night, Anthony Haney, sir, super producer of the program, man who Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, has lots of questions about when it comes to your football opinions. He took the guy that you wanted, that I wanted, which doesn't mean that all three of us are right, but I really hope it does. Trey Johnson, the pick at number 6. And then he goes and gets Will Riley, who I did not have a huge file on, but the more I read about him, I am a fan. I think when I think about the guys that they took, and we'll never know the alternate universe where Utah does what a lot of people thought they were going to and takes Jeremiah Fears, the player who ultimately goes 7 to New Orleans. And all of a sudden, Ace Bailey is standing, staring at the Washington Wizards. We'll never know if they would have taken Trey Johnson or Ace Bailey. But I always thought that Trey Johnson was someone who fit what they wanted. And the reason is the same reason that Will Riley is, of course, the pick for them at 21 after the trade at 18. These guys are psychos in terms of their work ethic, their competitiveness, and what they are about. The Washington Wizards' operating mantra, straight from the mouth of Michael Winger on day one, is togetherness, competitiveness, joy. Like, those are three of the main components. Guys that want to have fun, for sure, and it's a joyful process, and how do we make it as good as possible? And that's all the player care stuff and, like, all this really important stuff that they're doing away from basketball that will ultimately help lead to winning, but obviously is a long-term investment. But I think people look at that stuff because that's obviously what you're touting right now if you can't tout wins and losses. But they forget that this team is going to be built on competitiveness. They forget that teamwork is an essential thing here. And man, hearing Will last night talk about these two guys and how they're going to live in the gym, and you'll hear directly from Dawkins in a second. Of course, these are the two picks. And there's some other guys that might have fit that build. I think Fears is really competitive. I think there's a bunch of other guys in this draft that, Maliach is a guy that fits that build. So like, there's a couple guys that wouldn't be surprising, but Trey Johnson lives in the gym. Chase Hughes was telling the story on our show yesterday that he asked him at the combine, do you have any other hobbies? And he goes, no, I just play basketball. Will Riley lives in the gym. We talked to, or you'll hear the interview that I recorded earlier today with Brad Underwood, just worked with his schedule better to tape it. But I will go ahead and tell you now, Brad Underwood's gonna join us at 6 o'clock, or we'll play the interview at 6 o'clock. Last year, on his own, outside of practice, Will Riley took 70,000 three-point shots. Anthony, how many shots did you take last year? Probably not 70,000.
I don't think I took 1,000.
Yeah. I'm just curious. So, this is just in the season since he arrived at Illinois, outside of games, right? So this is, they have what's called the NOAA system. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a shot tracking system. And they're able to track every shot he takes. And so, yeah, they said outside, you know, and Brad was like, he found time when we were on the road to get in the gym. Like, he made it a priority to get up shots. But let's pretend he took 70,000 shots in a year. Threes, right? If he just split that into 365 days, that's still 191 threes a day. So if we say it's like 6 months and not even, so we're talking at least 2x that, that's taking almost 400 threes a day. And I guarantee you it's condensed into an even smaller timeline than that. And that, again, doesn't count certain situations. So we're talking a guy that was like, I got to get my 500 threes up every single day. That's the kind of work ethic as a college, you know, again, student athletes, especially when you're a one and done guy. I don't know how rigorous the academics are, but like, it's not nothing. This is a dude that's going to work. And I think Trey Johnson's the exact same way. And the fact that they're going to work together and Bub Carrington's going to be in the gym with them and Bilal, and the way Will was talking about Keyshawn George last night, they got, I mean, I know the Commanders, like that was something they talked about a lot in their rebuild. The Mike Sanders stills, the Jaden Daniels, they're the hardest workers. That's what we want is our core. And I know that still this team needs a superstar and there is no substitute for talent. But man, the makeup of the guys that they have. I think this is going to be a fun team when it eventually hits. We'll see how long until that happens because these guys are still very, very, very young. Riley was a reclass guy. He's only 18. Same thing as Flag and Fears and like these guys that should have just finished their senior year of high school. But if your defining characteristic is competitiveness, you can play for me. And we'll figure, because I know that you're going to figure out the rest. And that seems like what they got last night in this draft.
Yeah, and I think even just adding to like what we already have, I think it just makes that room like even more competitive. And that's what they breed. That's what they breed, you know, with the Commanders, with the Wizards, like they breed competition. So I'm excited to see how all that plays out. But, you know, talking about, you know, Riley taking 500 shots. Those are things like you hear coaches tell you, and like, you know, you blow them off like when you're younger. But if you really want to play at the highest level, like these are the things you actually have to do. And the fact that he's going out there listening to his coaches, you know, putting in the work, and then is reflecting on the court, I think that's the kind of, you know, player you want, because it shows, for one, he's coachable, and then two, the fact that you can, you know, shoot the ball at extremely high level is also important in today's NBA.
No doubt. A couple of bites from Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Washington Wizards. Obviously, these guys are going to get to play. We'll see what that actually means. But Will was asked about, like, you know, these guys and the other young guys now with some of the continued turnover in the Jordan Poole trade. Will couldn't talk directly about that because it's not official yet until July 6th. But here's what Dawkins had to say about, you know, how the minutes will stack up for these guys starting this year.
Probably not completely on that one. I think you're right. I can't completely comment on everything we did yesterday. I will say that days like that, those are challenging decisions for any organization, especially one when you're in a rebuilding process. So you have to always remember to keep the main focus on the main focus and put ourselves in position to maximize where we're trying to go. And for us, that's long-term success. That's kind of going to be where we're at. And we wanted to stay on track with that, while creating flexibility and what you're saying, playing time for some of these young players. But I thought Brian did a tremendous job last year having three rookies, three of them were all five top minutes per game. So like we're going to play those guys even when we had some veterans. And I still think we have some pretty high-level veterans who can play and help and mentor. So it's going to be tricky to kind of mix it all in, but I think it's a good thing to have. But again, we're going to invest in the guys we drafted tonight, give them every opportunity to play and find that balance. But we're trying to keep it strategic, trying to stay flexible. You know the new rules, the new aprons. Like that's probably as important as having high-level players. So we're going to take our crack, develop our guys, and stay flexible. But on our timeline, we're not rushing.
More from Dawkins later on in the show. More from on the Wizards draft with Varun Shankar coming up, a Washington Post Wizards beat reporter at 5 o'clock. But we will take our Commanders adjacent detour next because the RFK Stadium situation has gotten tenuous all of a sudden once again between D.C. City Council and the mayor's office and the team. Eric Flack has the latest. WUSA9's chief investigative reporter joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offen Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too. At the Team 980. Eric Flack is the chief investigative reporter for WUSA 9 and has been on top of the RFK Stadium story as long as the RFK Stadium story has been a story, which, as we've covered, is like a decade plus, but obviously it has picked up steam lately because we have a deal between the Commanders and the mayor's office. But Eric Flack, city council, oh boy. On a scale of 1 to 10, let's start here. Just how hairy is this thing getting here?
It's a good question. Six, 5.5.
Okay.
Five moving its way up the scale. And I think that people need to always keep in mind that this isn't about, in my opinion, D.C. Council not approving this stadium. I don't think we're even there. I think there are some counts out there questioning where various council members stand and if they have enough votes. It is my belief that there are plenty of votes to ultimately pass this stadium because I think enough council members, even the ones who have concerns, know that public opinion is for it and the city needs the business right now. I think the question is, like, whether the timeline is really going to match what the Commanders are looking to do, which is, you know, approve it yesterday, and whether that ultimately has, you know, long-term impacts on the financial get back for the city with what the stadium can be used for, specifically the Commanders continue to, you know, give the example of not being able to bid on the 2030 to be a host site for the 2031 Women's World Cup, which is going to be in North America. So, you know, but I will say this about the scale. The scale is going up by the day because the Commanders and the mayor are ramping up their voicing their frustration about DC Council in their mind taking their time. And DC Council, certain members of DC Council, are getting frustrated, feeling like they were painted into a corner by the mayor with this deal to begin with, and at a time of the city's first budget deficit in decades, and in the middle of trying to figure out their own budget, being kind of like arm wrestled into approving this ASAP or being pressured into feeling like they have to approve this ASAP. And that doesn't work with politicians in general, all of whom are kind of control freaks and kind of wanted things the way they want it. So, you know, I think tensions are escalating, and that's not a good thing for the stadium.
So let's take a step back even further, Eric. And for those that haven't heard the latest news that you've been reporting on, that Phil Mendelson, who's the DC City Council chairperson, he had said previously, like, this is all part of the budget as it was proposed by the mayor. We're going to vote on it. We're going to do the best we can to try to do it on time. We might need a little bit of an extension, et cetera, et cetera. But he had said that we're not going to, at least from what I had read, and I think direct quotes from him, I am not going to pull this out separately, which is something some of the actual council members wanted. They're like, hey, this is a $1 billion project. Like, we should be looking at this separately outside of the budget omnibus style, if you will. Now, Mendelson is saying that that is a possibility, or is that definitely going to happen? Where are we at with kind of the mechanics here?
It has happened. They pulled it out of the budget. Yeah.
Okay, so they pulled it out of the budget, which means what? Here's where you go again.
It means that they're going to hammer out the budget. They're going to focus over the next couple weeks and into July on the budget itself, and which is our public safety, which is transportation, which is, you know, all the other things, you know, our environmental programs, all the other things that the city has to, you know, budget for to run its operations, city services, garbage collection, all that sort of stuff. And they're doing it in a time when the federal government has asked them to cut a ton of money or to limit their spending, which has complicated the process even more. So they say this is a budget unlike one they've ever really had to wrestle with in some time. Once they lock the budget up, they can then move on to, you know, some sort of, you know, individual legislation that addresses the stadium itself individually. It will just be a stadium bill. And, you know, the mechanisms for the stadium are things like, you know, taking out bonds to help pay for it, you know, creating authorities to do the parking, you know, making a resolution to build the youth sports complex, the housing piece of it. That's all its own separate one legislative bill, which is kind of what council members have been like complaining about in the first place, saying like, this is a huge project. It's enough on its own rather than to jam it in with an entire other budget. And then they will address that after they have approved a budget, you know, for the next 2 years. They will then move on to the stadium issue, which will, I'm being told by council members, draw the debate out into August at least, and then potentially people are saying into September, and that's where the Commanders really start getting their panties in a wad, because that's the type of delays they really, really say are going to be, in their eyes, painful and harmful to this deal, this stadium getting done on time by 2030, which has always been the goal.
Eric Flack, chief investigative reporter at WSA9, with us. So that now that they pulled it out and we're looking at some kind of delay, the city council is saying, like, this is still fine, we'll get what we need to done. The Commanders saying what they're doing. And you go back to the old J school mantra. I don't know if they taught this at North Carolina, Eric, but this is what we learned at Syracuse, that if one person says it's raining and if one person says it's not, your job is to go outside and find out. So have we been able to find out, like, how real is the risk here of the things that the Commanders are threatening? That would be part one of the question. They also taught me not to ask two-part questions, but I'm going to break that rule. So how real are the threats here in terms of not having this thing done by 2030 when they want the 2031 Women's World Cup and other events being threatened because of that? Nevertheless, a year in the new stadium, one more year of having to play at the current version of FedEx Field turned Northwest Stadium. And then, so how real? And then part two, how much does city council care about that?
Those are good questions. Part one is, I think, TBD. Because I think even council members question, is an extra month really going to maybe the difference at this point between them not making a timeline to make, you know, be able to bid on the Women's World Cup or open the year in the new stadium? I think at this point, council members are trying to figure out if the Commanders are bluffing just because they want their stadium deal approved immediately, or if there's real danger there, because I think there are council members, even those who want to slow roll the consideration of the bill, who also understand that if we're spending this much money on a stadium, we need to get back what we can get back as soon as we can start getting it back. And that Women's World Cup host city bid is a real tangible thing that would bring real dollars in the actual, you know, not too distant future back to DC with this stadium. Like, you're starting to pay it off almost immediately. And so there is an understanding that, like, that really would be a missed opportunity if DC council extend this to a point where they would put that at risk. On the other hand, I'm not sure, because of the way this process goes, how much DC council trusts the Commanders' timeline and ultimatums about, like, you're going to cost us our shot at bidding on the, you know, Women's World Cup or being a host city. Part two of the question was,
how much do they actually care about it?
I think they care. I think they don't want to be painted into a corner by the mayor or the Commanders. And, you know, one council member looked at me, he's like, I want to help them out, but I have constituents and they elected me to do a job. And the job is to, like, scrutinize enormous deals just like this one. That's literally why I'm here. And so I feel like they believe their ultimate job is to their constituents and not to rubber stamp something. And I think a lot of there's a growing sentiment as to the city needs a better deal, needs to get back more from the Commanders than they're getting, than the mayor got them to agree to. I think at the same time, there is, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. And, you know, the idea of truly, you know, delaying this project to the point where you're losing, you know, the opportunity for it to bring big time dollars back almost immediately is something that is very real with at least some of the council members who are going to be involved in this. You know, I'm not a stadium and any cost person, but I certainly think we're going to end up approving this, and let's do it in such a way where we can at least start getting back money. So I think there's kind of a fine line when you're talking about how much do they care about the timeline.
Right, which I was listening, Chris Russell was talking about this on his show, obviously, and Russell was like, I don't know, like this stadium deal has to get done. And he was talking about it in the terms of like done or not done. And I think that's the wrong way, respectfully to Chris, to talk about it. It's like, well, what's the details matter here in terms of what the deal actually is? That said, my final question to you, Eric, is if the Commanders don't get this on their timeline, do you think they keep working on the deal, or do they go back to Maryland and just go, all right, we know you guys will probably actually give us more money. You guys really wanted to keep us here. Westmore, like, let's knock something out here. And it in many ways would be cheaper for the Commanders. They already own the land, like all that stuff. And I know obviously they're getting a great deal on rent right now in the current deal, but that's one of the things I think the city council is going to look at. Again, details. But are we looking at this deal potentially falling apart and Maryland reentering the equation? Or is it just how much pain happens and what details get changed on the road to an eventual Commanders home games at RFK Stadium?
I don't think we're talking about this deal falling apart. I think that the toothpaste is out of the tube on both sides. I think DC Council has shown their hand, and the mayor has shown their hand that they desperately want the stadium enough. There's enough, the mayor desperately wants it. We know, I think there's enough support among DC Council that DC Council members realize they would go down in infamy if they fumbled, pun intended, this opportunity away. I think the Commanders have shown their hand with the press conferences and the PowerPoints that, like, they want to be back in D.C. And that it would be hard for me to see them try to walk this back and be like, no, I'm just kidding, we're going to build in Maryland after, like, giving everybody, they're raising everybody's hopes and dreams for the first time in, however many decades that the team was coming back, that we're just going to go back to Maryland. So, I mean, they're kind of backed into a corner too. And ultimately, the question is who's going to blink in this game of chicken if, council members become one voice, meaning a majority, want certain things like, certain monies back, specifically from parking revenue is one that keeps coming up, which, we're building the parking garages, but not getting any of the money. That's something that bothers council members. And the Commanders try to play hardball with that, does it become a stalemate with some of those things? And that's the ultimate question is, do the Commanders blink? Because ultimately, they're the ones who care more about the timeline than DC Council as a whole.
That is a great point. Eric Flack, WUSA 9. You can check his work out, of course, on WUSA 9's website. And then you just watch him on television, Channel 9. That's the whole deal. Eric, appreciate your time as always, sir. Hope to see you soon, my friend, and thank you.
All right, man. See you.
Eric Flack, everybody. When we get back, a quick reaction to all of that, and then we get back to the Wizards and their drafting of Trey Johnson and Will Riley here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. So we just had Eric Flack on to discuss the latest on the D.C. City Council debate around the Commanders rebuilding at RFK Stadium. And are building a new stadium at RFK Stadium, return to RFK. You guys get the deal. The deal, for those that are playing catch-up here, the deal was initially negotiated by Mayor Bowser. It, on the Harris Group side, has the Commander side, has the largest private investment in an American football state or in a stadium in American history. So I think in world history. It's like nobody has ever paid for a stadium this much money. In D.C. history. So large and or anything else. So rewind, take two, now that I remember the statistic. This would be the largest private investment in the district in DC history. $2.3 billion or maybe even more. There would still be over $1 billion of taxpayer money to support the stadium, from infrastructure, redoing roads, metro stations, etc., to parking lots, to other things that have to happen. I don't know all the details because I haven't read them. I don't know if I can read them. And I frankly don't even know if all of them are 100% worked out. But this is obviously a complex and complicated deal. City Council would like more time to look at it because they need to know the details. And there are a lot of details that upon reading it, the council's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't like that. So WUSA9, reading from their story online, when they asked DC's chief financial officer for the total interest payments on bonds the city would need to issue to help fund the stadium, the answer was unknown at this time. Well, when the city has to pay for bonds, that money comes from taxpayers. So like that's pretty freaking important detail. He gave the same response when asked about yearly payments DC would have to make on those bonds. Concerns over interest payments were raised by Charles Allen, one of the council members, at a budget oversight hearing in May, and White warns interest payments made by the district cannot be pulled from the city's capital fund, where Bowser assured residents all stadium funding would be derived. So, like, there's two different pots of money. There's the capital fund, and then there's another fund, and keeping those separate is important, but if you can only pay certain things out of one fund and not pay them out of another, and that includes interest payments on city debt or bonds or whatever else, then that seems like you'd be pulling from the pot of money that you said would be left alone. And that's obviously a problem. There's also concerns over hidden housing costs. White believes that there are also tens of millions in hidden housing costs not included in the mayor's stadium cost estimates. He's among a growing number of DC council members who see major red flags in the stadium financing. When the mayor is saying this is the cost of the city, it's not accurate. It's off by at least hundreds of millions of dollars, and residents should know how much the project is going to cost. This is complicated because I firmly believe, as I have for a while now, that on an like on the biggest of picture levels, the stadium should be in D.C. I've thought that for years. The return to RFK is the right thing to do. It's where the team belongs. And as a D.C. resident and city taxpayer, I'm okay paying some tax for that. It's more convenient for me to get to RFK than it is to get to Landover. And like, that's kind of what you're paying for, right? If you live closer to stuff, both your housing costs are more, everything is more, and some of that, if you're like a renter, you are paying more because the landlord is paying more in property taxes. If you own the property, you're just paying directly the property taxes on top of the market value for convenience, right? If you want a ton of land, then you're going to have to move away from stuff. You can't, unless you can pay gobs and gobs of money at some of like the richest houses in DC, then sure, you can have land and be close to stuff. But even then, like, you're not going to live next to Capital One Arena and have a front yard. Like, those two things do not go together. So like, this is life in the big city, literally. If you, it's more expensive because you are paying for convenience. If you want to stop paying for that stuff, you're not going to live in a place where it's concentrated. And maybe you're not a sports fan, so this isn't your particular thing that you want. But that's true for all kinds of businesses and interests and all those things. And I am an adult enough to realize like that's how taxes work, is you got to pay for stuff. And if we all pay a little bit together, then it's easier to fund those things. I am also, at the same time, not interested in giving gobs of money to the richest people in the country who are the owners of these sports teams. So, like, there has to be a balance. Everyone pays their fair share. Their share is bigger because they have more money, but that doesn't necessarily mean they need to foot all of it. Now, that is an unpopular opinion, I think. But that's how it goes in everywhere. It's the markets at play, and it's also, I think, actually fair. That yes, if you own the thing, you have to pay the most, but if all of us chip in a little, then we all, the people that will actually go to the games, will benefit. And I was literally driving up Embassy Row this morning and laughing because they put a bunch of signs up. No playgrounds for billionaires, one of the groups lobbying against this site or the stadium. And I'm like, this isn't a playground for billionaires. Josh Harris isn't building somewhere for his kids to play. He's building somewhere that 50, 60,000 people a week are going to go, and another couple hundred will, or actually probably a couple thousand will be working when it's time to play. So like even the lobbying process against, I genuinely find a little bit silly in this case, but that doesn't mean that the details don't matter. That there shouldn't be if we're all going to pay a little bit as taxpayers, hopefully in the end, they are going to pay and generate revenue as well to fund other things that we as citizens need, from public safety dollars to making sure that our roads are up to date and our metro system is functioning well. And all of the other things are, you know, subsidizing housing because we have a housing crisis in this city, because we have a housing crisis in America. And so all these things have to come together. And if it takes an extra 2 months to get that right, it feels to me like it is worth 2 months. If that is going to be the difference in getting the 2031 World Cup and not, I think you should get as much as you possibly can done. And then when you hit the deadline, you hit the deadline, and hopefully you've worked out a really good deal, even if it's not perfect. Because getting that stuff is important and might make up for some of the things that you don't get done. Like, you can make up the, like, time has value here. And so, long story short, kind of where I sit on this is to pretend like it's all or nothing is to miss the point. To pretend like this is all or nothing, that it has to be the mayor and the commander's way, or it has to be city council's way, or it has to be the stadium is there, or the stadium is, like, it's all gray area middle ground. Getting it as right as possible for as many people as possible is the most important thing. That should be the motivating factor, not the measuring contest that happens in politics. Everyone needs to get their pound of flesh. That way they can go back to their constituents and be like, look what I extracted. Re-elect me to my job that I like a lot. You do the job, that gets you re-elected. And I do think that there are council members acting in good faith trying to do the job, and that deserves respect. I also think that this ownership group is made up of a bunch of good people who care about the city, and they're trying to do what they think is best while already saying, like, we have put in a historic amount of money. But they're also smart and they're shrewd business people, and that is what it is too. So that's probably an unsatisfactory answer and analysis to everyone. So I'm sorry on that regard. But this is kind of, I think, a good reminder that for as much as some of the great politicians are great at messaging things and can create a visceral reaction, the reality is politics are messy. The way the sausage gets made sometimes is unnecessarily messy, but is also, like, we're talking about multi-billion dollar deals. These are big things with really important details that, oh, we missed this and that could have been $100 million mistake. Like, let's get that right. And having healthy respect for that, I think that I'm willing to give the city a little bit more time while acknowledging that some of these deadlines the Commanders are putting up are definitely real based off of how construction works and knowing how long a project of this size will take. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up next, let's take a couple of calls. 301-230-0980. You've heard us talk about this most of the hour. And then starting at 5 o'clock, Varun Shankar of the Washington Post to talk about the Wizards draft. Never read the comments today. And then 6 o'clock hour, Brad Underwood, Illinois basketball coach, and your calls on the Wizards draft here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Anthony, why are we playing Celebration by Kool & the Gang?
Well, one, I was hoping that we would get some calls to, you know, celebrate yesterday's first round draft by the Wizards. I thought we did an exceptional job. So I think that's something to celebrate.
I'm also pumped about that. It's just, I mean, we didn't ask for calls on that because I was like, we're going to be like an awkward amount of time to do the switcheroo. But also, I guess we could switch back to the Wizards because Varun's coming up at 5 o'clock anyway. I just didn't know if there's anything. We don't have any calls. We have the old flat line. Yep, that's what's going on the phone lines right now. Wait, you weren't expecting that?
I was not.
No, it's an old favorite. Use the empty line to prove that there's empty lines. Empty lines. Here, you want to hear what line two sounds like? Line three? Line four? Wow, it's the same dial tone. That would be kind of funny if there was just like a different dial tone for every single one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's C sharp. What do you know? That's a different note. That's a B. A little flat. Anyway. Do you want to talk about the Wizards instead of the RFK thing?
I really just hope they just vote. Like, I hate politics, not gonna lie.
Yeah, politics is really annoying. I think the more I talk to people who have to do these things, the more respect I have for how difficult they are. And that is not to say that sometimes the forest doesn't get lost through the trees or the trees don't get lost because we're too focused on the forest. But it is the kind of thing where it's like, you know, these details matter. A lot of posturing seems to be happening. The process never seems optimized because people are trying to play these leverage games and whatever. And it's just like, man, if we could operate on substance, like, how much better would the world be if we focused on the right things? And got some of the crap out of the way. And that is a bipartisan issue. Get the crap out of the way. By the way, I will also, hold on. Flack is sending me updates. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. So Flack did want to make one correction. And apparently there's some confusion a little bit about whether the stadium deal has already been pulled out of the budget versus it's going to be. Like, at the end of the day, that's going to happen, but it might not have actually happened yet. So there's going to be meetings coming up. There's some reporting in the Post that Mendelson, the D.C. City Council chair, said he planned to hold a vote on the proposal deal as soon as possible after a public hearing, which his staff said would be held July 29th for the public and on July 30th for the team and government officials. No one should infer from the introduction of this bill that funding in the mayor's proposed budget for the Washington Commanders football stadium team is in jeopardy. Commanders football team is in jeopardy. Mendelson wrote in a statement accompanying the bill, noting that the capital funding for the stadium remains in the budget and is expected to be approved in July. So that part, this is all what's silly to me. It's like a lot of the funding mechanisms are in the budget bill, but some of the larger projects are, and the details of like, to me, like what it sounds like is some of the initial funding is going to get approved in July as part of the 2026 budget, right? And that's what they're voting on, is the 2026 budget. What's getting pulled out of that is the larger stadium proposal. So on some of the later stuff, like once the stadium is built and these parking garages, for instance, get built, which the funding for them is in the 2026 bill that's going to get approved. But how much of the revenue from that goes to the Commanders, currently all of it in the mayor's version, versus goes to the city. So that's the stuff that has to get pulled out and voted on, which is doesn't need to be done as immediately. And so I think that's also probably part of the reason why some of the city council folks are like, we're going to give you a lot of the money up front that you're asking for on the timeline. Like, you can start to get to work. It's, you know, what's the deal going to look like on the back end? But if you're the Commanders, you're like, well, if you're going to change the deal, I don't know that I want the deal. And so it gets hairy and complicated and, political. Top and show. We're on the Team 980. We'll take some calls on the Wizards front coming up at, we have some time at 5:15, unless we go long with Varun. And we'll certainly have time in the 6 o'clock hour as well. For your thoughts on the Wizards draft, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, those are the picks. Varun Shankar of the Washington Post, their Wizards beat reporter, joins us to talk about those guys next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.